Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you for blessing our world with people of all sexual orientations. We are grateful you have given us many ways to experience love and companionship. We ask that you guide us in embracing those whose sexual orientation differs from our own, and that you help us protect those who are discriminated against because of their sexual orientation. Amen.
A reading from John. While Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, then each of them went home while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand before all of them. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I want you to know that I meditated and prayed a long time on what I would speak about today. And after much deliberation, I stand before you today not with a story about my faith journey, nor with a drawn-out theological sermon, but instead with an admonition focused on a difficult and uncomfortable subject. LGBT people are some of the strongest people that I know. In the face of all things that would seek to tear us down, acts defending marriage, 34 states that allow us to lose our jobs because of who we are, social workers who rip our children from our arms, fundamentalist Christians who protest our funerals. No, in the face of all this, we remain standing. Leviticus 20:13, "If a man lies with a male, as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." There we have it. The verdict is clear. Would you like to hang me now, or can I say goodbye to my friends and family first? No, this sounds ridiculous, even to those who believe in the strictest interpretation of the Bible. Instead, you are called to hate the sin and love the sinner. But can you not see those who are put to death even today? I wish that I could stand here before you and tell you that this was a clever metaphor. It must be, right? Because you no longer see us lined up with pink triangles on our sleeves. Instead, you see us on television teaching heterosexual males how to wax their eyebrows and wear bootcut jeans. I cannot simply pass over the very literal death that too many of my sisters and brothers face every day just because it's uncomfortable for some to hear. Yesterday marked the 10th anniversary of the death of Matthew Shepard, a guy who at my age was tied to a fence in Wyoming, beaten and left for dead. Why? Because he was gay. And today, the website of the Westboro Baptist Church, GodHatesFags.com proudly displays a counter of how many days Matthew has been burning in hell. Last February, 15-year-old Larry King was shot point-blank in the face by his 14-year-old classmate because he was gay. Or how about Billy Jack Aether in Alabama, beaten with an axe handle and thrown on a pile of tires doused in kerosene and burned alive? Or my sisters and brothers who take their own lives at a rate 10 times higher than the heterosexual community because they're gay and the people around them make life no longer worth living. So hate the sin, but love the sinner. Unfortunately, there are many out there who cannot see beyond my sins. I am reduced instead to a list of abominable acts. As a list of acts, I have no soul, no human spirit, no hopes, no dreams, no talents, no accomplishments. I become nothing but the abominable acts that I commit. So if you were a 14-year-old boy who doesn't understand homosexuality, which would you find it easier to murder? A unique human being with goals and hopes, a human spirit whose talents and ideas contribute to humanity, or a walking list of abominable acts? Now, I realize that this is not the celebratory tone that one usually encounters in this place, but I cannot and I will not apologize because I am filled with anger. When will the church realize that it must stop condemning the LGBT community and come to its rescue? If Christ were here today, would he be standing behind a pulpit, clutching his Bible and waving his finger in condemnation? Or would he be standing beside the LGBT community, a community on the verge of being put to death, drawing in the sand? I have a gay friend who once stated, "I think people like us are not meant to be. I don't think we are what God intended." That statement should make every Christian's heart ache, because my friend has been exposed to so much hatred that he has actually begun to hate who he is. And I pray so ardently that he will see that God loves him unconditionally, because the God I know is the God that loved my friend so much that he sent his son to die that he might live, that he might be. So how do we, mere humans, determine that my friend shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Where do we get the authority? Ought we not welcome the LGBT community into our fold as Christ would want us to do? Ought we not stand with the scorn, as Jesus did in today's reading, not merely tolerating her, but loving her? We must reshape society to be more than tolerant, because tolerance is not enough. Tolerance will not stop those teens that have been taught to hate themselves from taking their lives. Tolerance will not stop us from being broken, beaten, and burned. Tolerance is what a character on a popular gay television series means when he says, "There are two types of straight people in this world, those who hate you to your face and those who hate you behind your back." Tolerance is hate with a smile, silent hate. No, all we need is love. Love will cure the world. We are called to love. You choose your cliche. But my community will not stop being put to death until we are valued for who we are and not despite of it. God knows my actions, and he knows my heart. And I know that he loves me, all of me. And what is required of me to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Nothing but Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. So who do we emulate if we do not emulate a God who is all-loving, all-forgiving, and all-welcoming? If being Christian is to follow Christ, and Christ's great commandment is love, and yet we defy this very commandment by pushing LGBT people further and further into the margins, then who are we? I invite you to pursue your own answers to these questions. But next time you turn on your television and see another one of my sisters and brothers who has been put to death, ask yourself, are we, God's church, doing enough to put a stop to this senseless tragedy? And next time you have the opportunity to reconcile in Christ, to make a statement of welcome to a group of people who believe they are not wanted, think a moment about the impact of welcoming someone who has never felt welcomed to a place where they can find more than tolerance, to a place where they can find love.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May God Almighty order our days and our deeds.